The title of the sermon this morning is Children Obey. Children Obey. Now, this is a unique sermon. If you're a kid still living at home, then this sermon is specifically for you. Now, typically our sermons are not directly aimed at kids or students. Most of the time they're directed at everybody, but a lot of times they're directed at adults, whether we're talking about marriage, or we're talking to husbands, wives, we're talking about parenting, we're talking about how to succeed on the job, how to live for Christ on the job, which is what we'll be talking about next Sunday. A lot of those things have to do with adults, but this morning it's specifically for kids and for students. If you're living at home, under your parents' roof, then this is for you. But this is going to be challenging, so I want you to get ready. If you're a kid this morning, I want you listening real close and taking some notes. Being a kid is a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. You don't have to worry about a lot of the responsibilities and the challenges and the burdens of adulthood. Amen, adults? Amen. It was good to be a kid. You can look back and say, man, they have it good. But being a kid is not all that easy. There are some challenges to being a kid as well. And this morning, we're going to look at one of the hardest things about being a kid. And we're going to find that in our verse this morning, Colossians 3, chapter 20 through 21. Colossians 3, 20 through 21. We're going to look at verse 20 today, which is directed at kids. Next Sunday, we're going to look at verse 21, which is directed at parents. Okay? So it says, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not exasperate your children so that they won't become discouraged. As I said, we'll talk about that next Sunday. So this is a command, as you can see, directed straight at children, Christian children. By the way, the implication here is that when Paul wrote these letters were to be read to the churches. The churches were to gather, and they were to be read to the churches. Now, this tells us, where were the kids when this was read? The kids were with the adults, with the church at large. It says, children, so it doesn't say tell the children. It says, children, obey your parents in everything. So going back to the first century, the kids were in church with their parents just like this, and they were listening to this just as you are. So let me give you three implications of this command, children, obey your parents. This is one of the most challenging things about being a student, about being a kid. First of all, God places children under the authority of their parents. God places children under the authority of their parents, not the state, not the government. When it says, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord, well, the implication is that your parents are in charge of you. Parents are to be in charge of their children. Beware of lawmakers, of politicians who are concerned about children's rights. It's a very, very dangerous thing. That's one of the tenets of Marxism, of communism, and of tyrannical socialism. The idea that they present to you is that they are concerned about children's rights, but in reality, what they want to do is they want the state to be in complete control of everybody's lives, and they know that begins with the family. And so what they want to do is they want to make public school compulsory. You can't go to private school, can't be homeschooled. You got to send them to the state school, the government schools. They want to make things like spanking illegal. And what they want is they want to take all authority of children out of the hands of the parents so that the state has complete control, because they know if they can control the children and they can control education, well, then they have the future. They can control society. And so this is all in the name of children's rights. Beware of that. The Bible says that children are to be under the authority of who? Of their mom and their dad, of their parents. Parents are to have authority. Now, that doesn't mean that children don't have any rights. Of course they do. It's against the law, as it should be, to abuse your children physically or sexually. Children in our country, you have to educate them, either send them to school or homeschool them, or send them to private school. It's against the law to deprive your child of an education. So they have all the same rights as adults, but they are under the authority of their parents, and it needs to stay that way. All right, number two, a second implication of this command is that parents must exercise their God-given authority. Parents must exercise their God-given authority. So the Bible says that children need to obey their parents. The implication is that parents are giving their children something to obey, that parents are setting boundaries and rules and guidelines and parameters and are acting as authoritative figures in their children's lives. In 1946, Dr. Benjamin Spock, and I'm not talking about Spock from Star Trek, this is Dr. Benjamin Spock, a psychologist. He wrote a book about parenting called Baby and Child Care. And this book changed the way that Americans think about family and about parenting. And you don't realize it, but we are heavily influenced by this man's work even today, especially today. It was an international bestseller. It sold 750,000 copies the first year alone. Again, this was written in 1946. That's the year you were born, right, Mom? Yep. It's considered one of the most influential books of the 20th century. Life magazine named Dr. Spock one of the 100 most important people of the 20th century. It became the defining text for raising the baby boomers. And so here's how the story goes. Really, since the dawn of time, parents have raised their kids with the same common sense. I mean, going all the way back to the beginning of our nation, founding of our nation, and even before. You can go back and look at texts and books and instruction manuals for parenting, and it's really based on common sense. It's based on the Bible. The Bible is very much common sense, even if you don't have the Bible. I mean, it's just common sense how you should raise a kid in a lot of ways. Well, in 1946, when Dr. Spock published that book, the greatest generation, the generation that's called the greatest generation, the generation that fought in World War II, that generation was really the last generation that was raised by those common sense biblical principles. But that generation after World War II, they got a hold of Dr. Spock's book. And they raised, starting with the baby boomers, raise your hand if you're a baby boomer. Yep, they raised you different than kids had been raised ever before, according to Dr. Spock's philosophy. And then the baby boomers raised my generation, Generation X, and then the millennials, and parenting has changed in America and really in the world, especially in the West, in a major way. Dr. Spock was against spanking. He said that if you spank your child, it would cause them to become violent. It would lead them, it would teach them to be violent. It would teach them to be bullies. Dr. Spock essentially, and this is really the core problem with his ideology, is that he believed that people are innately good. And so children, they're just, if parents would just set a good example and just gently, lovingly guide them in the right direction, children will go the right way. They'll do the right thing. They are naturally positive. They're naturally loving. They're naturally selfless and generous and giving. So they just need good encouragement from their parents. Norman Vincent Peale was a preacher from that era whenever the book first came out. He's also a very popular motivational type of writer about business success. But this is how he characterized Dr. Spock's parenting ideas. He said, quote, "Feed them whatever they want. Don't let them cry. Instant gratification of needs." So this is how my grandparents, reading this philosophy, it totally changed their ideas of how to raise kids. That's how they raised my parents. I don't know exactly if that's how my grandparents raised y'all, but that's how the greatest generation raised the baby boomers, and then it's been passed on. So the way that people have been raising kids in America has been totally changed. It's totally different. But the Bible teaches that people are innately sinful, that children need strong parenting to grow upright. Proverbs 22:15, it says, "Foolishness is bound to the heart of a youth. A rod of discipline will separate it from him." Now, that's just common sense. You don't need to be a Christian to believe that foolishness is bound to the heart of a youth. These kids are just naturally selfish. They're naturally sinful people, human beings. We're naturally selfish, sinful, foolish. We're not going to go the right way just naturally. And so we need discipline. We need parents to exercise their God-given authority over us. And so parents do this in two ways, with commands and with correction. Parents exercise their authority with commands by telling their children, this is what you can do, this is what you can't do, this is what you can eat, this is what you cannot eat, this is how much you can eat, this is how much you can't eat, this is what time you need to go to bed, this is where you need to go to school, this is where we're going to go to church as a family, this is what we're going to do at church, this is how you're going to behave at church. And parents are not afraid to tell their children no. No may be the most popular word in your house. It might need to be for several years of your child's life because they don't know what's best for them, and they often want what's bad for them. So commands and then correction. Whenever your children go the wrong way, it's your job as a parent to correct them. You do that verbally with a rebuke. Stop that. Bad idea. Don't do that. That's wrong. That's sinful. That's evil. That's inappropriate. Sometimes it's whenever they sin. Sometimes it's whenever they do just something foolish, like laughing out loud in the middle of a funeral. You say, stop. We don't act like that. You know, burping at the table. Stop that. We don't do that. It's bad manners, okay? So that's correction, and sometimes you even need to use the rod or spanking whenever your child is especially deliberately disobedient or defiant or rebellious. The Minnesota Crime Commission, they put out a report, and this is part of what it said. Now, this is a government organization, and it's not a biblical Christian organization. Okay, that's not their purpose, but just listen to what they said. Every baby starts life as a little savage. He is completely selfish and self-centered. He wants what he wants when he wants it. His bottle, his mother's attention, his playmate's toys, his uncle's watch, or whatever. Deny him these and he seethes with rage and aggressiveness, which would be murderous were he not so helpless. He's dirty. He has no morals, no knowledge, no developed skills. This means that all children, not just certain children, but all children are born delinquent. If permitted to continue in their self-centered world of infancy, given free rein to their impulsive actions to satisfy each want, every child would grow up a criminal, a thief, a killer, a rapist. And so kids, you need to know that you're a sinner, just as we are as adults. But you're a sinner, and without parents and without parameters and boundaries and without your parents' rules and discipline, you would go the wrong way. You would not turn out to be the kind of person that you want to be when you grow up. And so God gave you parents to exercise discipline over you and to give you wisdom and instruction. John MacArthur said, parents who do not fully and tirelessly commit themselves to the godly teaching and training of their children are likely to wake up one day to find their sons and daughters inextricably enmeshed in the ungodly and immoral philosophies and practices of the world. Despite what the world may say, children are to obey and honor their parents. They are not to be liberated from their parents and enabled to choose whatever they want to do and the way they want to do it. So the first implication here is that children are to be under the authority of their parents. The second is that parents need to exercise that authority. So parents, don't succumb to this Dr. Spock type of parenting in which you just let the kid do what they want to do and set their own boundaries and decide what they want to eat and how much and when and how they want to talk. You need to be the parent. You need to be in charge. Number three, a third implication about this command, children, obey your parents, is that, and this is for you kids, that God cares about your relationship with your parents. God cares about your relationship with your parents. It says, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. So notice that it says, this pleases the Lord. How you interact with your parents, if you do it in an honoring, obedient way, it pleases the Lord. Whenever you are disobedient and dishonoring to your parents, it's displeasing to the Lord. And so the Bible says, God says, obey your parents. That means when you don't obey your parents, that's called a sin. Not only have you disobeyed your parents, but you've disobeyed God. And if you're a Christian, then your goal, your ultimate goal in life is to please the Lord. You want to please the Lord. You love God and you want to please Him. And so this matters to you. 2 Corinthians 5:9 says, therefore, whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to be pleasing to Him. So if you're a Christian, you want to be pleasing to the Lord. This verse tells you how to please the Lord. You need to be obedient to your parents. How important is this to God, this idea of obeying your parents? Is this a big deal? I want to go back to the Old Testament law. And whenever the nation of Israel was under the Mosaic law, God gave them not only the law, but God gave them penalties for breaking the law. So God set up some penalties, some punishments for children who dishonored and disobeyed their parents. Look at some of these. It says in Exodus 21:15, it says, whoever strikes, that means hits, whoever strikes his father or his mother must be put to death. Exodus 21:17 says, whoever curses his father or his mother must be put to death. And then Deuteronomy chapter 21, verses 18 through 21, it says, if a man has a stubborn and rebellious son or daughter who does not obey his father or mother and doesn't listen to them, even after they discipline him, again, there's the assumption that you're disciplining your child, his father and mother are to take hold of him and bring him to the elders of his city, to the gate of his hometown. Remember, the elders used to meet at the gate. They will say to the elders of his city, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He doesn't obey us. He's a glutton and a drunkard. Then all the men of his city will stone him to death. You must purge this evil from you, and all Israel will hear and be afraid. That just shows you. Now, who wrote that law? Moses did. Moses wrote it. Who was the author? God. You say, man, that's harsh. This is God who gave that rule, who gave that law. That's how serious honoring your parents is to God and obeying your parents is to the Lord. Why was it so serious to God? Well, one of the reasons is because, and we'll touch on this just in just a moment, but the Lord knows that the way you learn to get along with people, and the way you learn to respect people and to respect authority and to respect the rights of others, the way you learn those things is at home when you're a kid and dealing with your parents. And so if you don't learn those valuable lessons, then the Lord knows most likely you're going to grow up to terrorize society, to be a menace to society. And so the Lord said, purge that evil from among you. If you let these rebellious, unruly kids grow up and just go, they're just going to terrorize society. They're going to bring chaos to the world. We see that in our country, don't we? I mean, there's just a lot of chaos going on right now. And I think a lot of it starts in the home. All right, so now let's talk about kids, how to obey your parents. What does it mean to obey your parents? When it says, children, obey your parents, let's talk about what that looks like in a biblical way. John MacArthur says that the Greek word for obey, hupakouo, literally means like acoustics, hupakouo. It means to hear under. That is, to listen with attentiveness. So when your parents say, listen, it means to listen with attentiveness and to respond positively to what is heard. Children are to put themselves under the words and authority of their parents. So what does it mean to obey your parents? How do you do it? Number one, completely. Obey your parents completely. It says, children, in Colossians 3:20, obey your parents in what? In everything. Obey your parents in everything. So don't just obey some of their commands. Don't just obey the commands that you agree with or that you like. Obey all of their commands. Obey your parents in everything. Number two, how to obey your parents. Constantly. Constantly. Psalm 119:44. This is what King David said about how to obey God. He says, I will always obey your instruction forever and ever. That's what obedience is. It's you're obedient to your parents constantly. In other words, you're not just obedient to them when they're watching you, but then you're disobedient right whenever they step out the door and go in the opposite direction. You're obedient to them whether they're watching you or not. Now, do you have to obey your parents for life? No. Whenever you move out from your parents' roof and you're no longer under their roof, then you're no longer under their authority. When you become an adult, a legal adult in our country, 18 years old, and then you move out, then you're no longer bound to obey your parents. But you will always be responsible to honor your mother and father. That command you never grow out of. Always honor your parents, but as far as obeying their rules, doing what they say, that lasts until you become an adult and move out of the house. Number three, how to obey your parents? Currently. Obey them currently. In other words, right away. Listen and Lydia used to tell our kids constantly growing up, listen and obey. What did she say? Do it right away. Listen and obey. Do it right away. Because delayed obedience is disobedience. To be really obedient to somebody means you obey them right away. So your mom tells you, hey, I want you to clean up your room. And you just sit there. That's disobedience. She says, why are you being disobedient? You say, well, I'm not. I'm going to do it just later. Well, that's disobedience. When your mom says to clean up your room, do it right away. I like how King David put it, Psalm 119:6, I hurried, not hesitating to keep your commands. The illustration that I've given in the past, I'll give it again, is whenever the phone rings at my house, some of my kids get super excited. That phone rings, whether it's a cell phone or the landline, we still have a landline for the church, but the kids will jump up right away, that first ring. They would jump up and race to the phone. Doesn't matter what they're doing or what's going on in the house, they will race to the phone to see who's calling, who's trying to contact us, what's the news. And I thought about it, I was like, you know what? I told my kids, I said, that's what obedience is supposed to look like. As soon as your mom and dad give you an order, give you a command, you need to jump up and you race to do it. That's what obedience should look like. All right, number four, obedience should be cheerful. Obey your parents cheerfully, happily, with a good attitude. Philippians 2:14 says, do everything. This is for all Christians. Do everything without complaining or arguing. So when your parents tell you to do something, you don't complain, you don't roll your eyes, you don't argue about whether or not you agree with the command. You do it right away. Do everything without complaining or arguing. And number five, considerately. Obey considerately. Ephesians 6, 2-3 says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. It's talking about the first of the Ten Commandments that's given with a promise. By the way, in the Ten Commandments, the first four commandments have to do with your relationship with God. The last six have to do with your relationship with people. The very first commandment that's given to govern our human relationships is children, honor your father and mother. The very first commandment given to govern our social relationships. So it says, this is the first commandment with a promise so that it may go well with you and that you may have a long life in the land. So remember that obedience is only one small part of what it means to honor your parents. To honor your parents is a much bigger thing. Honor means to have inward respect and reverence for your parents. It's not enough to honor them outwardly. You must honor and respect them inwardly as well. John MacArthur said, the right attitude behind the right act of obedience is honor, which means to value highly. This is how you need to think of your parents and treat your parents, to value them highly, to hold them in the highest regard and respect. In both its verb and noun forms, the word is often used as a term of reverence, preciousness. So your parents need to be precious to you and honor regarding God the Father and Christ. Children are to honor both their father and mother, to hold them in the highest possible respect. And so to obey your parents considerately, it means to be considerate of them anytime you make a decision, anytime you do something, because oftentimes, you're going to run into a situation where you have an opportunity to do this or to do that, A or B, and your parents never gave you a direct command about whether to do A or B. What does that mean? You can just do whatever you want? No, you still need to honor your parents. And so to obey them considerately means to consider your parents in all the decisions that you make. Never do anything that would bring shame to your parents. And never do anything that would embarrass them. Never do anything that would make them ashamed of you. Never do anything that would make them look bad as your parent. But also never do anything that would bring sorrow to your parents. Never do anything that would just make your parents sad and grieved at the things that you've done and how you've hurt yourself or hurt other people. Never do anything to bring shame or sorrow to your parents. Number six, obey your parents Christianly. Christianly. Ephesians 6:1 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Now, that phrase, in the Lord, it isn't modifying parents. So when it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, it's not saying only obey your parents if they are in the Lord. Only obey your parents if they're Christians. What it's saying is, obey your parents as long as their commands are not in violation of Scripture. Obey your parents in the Lord. In other words, obey your parents remembering that your highest allegiance is to God. And so obey your parents in the Lord means obey your parents as long as they're not commanding you to disobey God. God always comes first. But if your parents aren't commanding you to sin or to do something that violates your relationship with God, then you must obey. That's what it means to obey Christianly. And then one more, obey combinedly. Combinedly. I was really reaching for some C words here. Colossians 3:20, it says, children, obey your, what's that word?
Parents.
It doesn't say children obey your father. It doesn't say children obey your mother. It says children obey your parents. It's important to honor and obey your mom and your dad. Your dad and your mom. Now, I know that you're not supposed to pick favorites, but sometimes you may have a favorite parent. You may like your mom. You may love them equally, but you may like your mom more than your dad. Or you may fear your dad more than your mom. Wait till your dad gets home. But you're supposed to obey and honor both parents equally. Ephesians 6:2, honor your father and mother. Okay? Now, let me finish off by just giving you some motivation. Why should you obey your parents? Why should you obey your parents? Okay? Number one, obeying your parents is not easy. So here's some reasons why. The first one is to please God. Why should you obey your parents? Why should you really take this message to heart? To please the Lord. Remember, if you're a Christian, you love the Lord. You want to please Him. What pleases God? Whenever you honor your parents, when you obey your parents. Colossians 3:20, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Number two, why obey your parents? To do what is right. To do what is right. Ephesians 6:1 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is what? This is right. That word right, in the Greek, it refers to that which is correct, just, righteous, to that which is exactly as it should be. Why is it right? Why is it the right thing to do to obey your parents? I mean, why do they get to tell you what to do? Well, without your parents, you would not exist. Your mother carried you in her belly for 9 months. She endured labor pains for you. She nursed you from her own breasts. Your parents brought you into the world. They fed you, they clothed you, they taught you, they loved you, they encouraged you. They brought you to church. They protected you. They bought you toys. They brought you on vacation. They paid your bills. They gave you shelter. They put up with all your sins and mistakes and loved you anyway. It's only right and just after all that your parents have done for you. It's only fair that you obey them, that you honor them. Number three, why obey your parents? To benefit yourself, for your own benefit. Ephesians 6, 2-3, it says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may have a long life in the land. So God gives us two promises for honoring our parents. The first one is so that it will go well with you. In other words, you'll have a good life, a happy life. And the second one is so that you will have a long life that you may have a long life in the land. So if you honor your parents, God promises to give you a better life and a longer life. You can't beat that. Listen to what the Bible says about children. This is why you need your parents, why it would benefit you to obey your parents. It says in Proverbs 22:15, foolishness is bound to the heart of a youth. A rod of discipline will separate it from him. In other words, this is why you need a mom and dad. You don't naturally know right from wrong. You don't. You have to be taught. But then, as you get a little bit older, well, you know what's right from wrong because your parents have taught you, but you don't necessarily want to do what is right all the time, do you? Oftentimes, because we're sinful, we want to do what's wrong. Well, that's why we need parents. But then, as you get a little bit older and you're more devoted to the Lord, as a young man or as a young woman, then you know what is right and you want to do what is right, but because you're still young and immature, you don't have the willpower to do what you want to do. So you still find yourself, even though you know what is right, you want to do what is right, you still find yourself doing the wrong thing. That's what it means when it says foolishness is bound to the heart of a youth. This is why we need parents. This is why obeying your parents would benefit you. It'll save you from yourself. Proverbs 29:15, it says, a rod of correction imparts wisdom, but a youth left to himself is a disgrace to his mother. Now, kids, be honest. Do you ever just wish your parents would leave you alone? Just let you do what you want to do? I'm sure you did. I'm sure you felt like that. Just leave me alone. Let me do what I want to do. What the Bible tells us is a youth left to himself. In other words, if you just let a young person do what they want to do, live the way they want to live, it'll lead to disgrace. You will become a disgraceful person, an embarrassment to yourself and to your family and to the Lord. As parents, we're not supposed to just leave you alone. We're not supposed to just let you go your own way. We're supposed to step in and provide some correction and some commands. So your parents are God's gift to you. You need them, and it will benefit you more than anybody else if you obey them. Number four, why obey your parents? To avoid God's discipline. To avoid God's discipline. Proverbs 3:12 says, for the Lord disciplines the one he loves, just as a father disciplines the son in whom he delights. Remember that disobeying your parents is a sin against God. And when you sin against God, what happens? God will discipline you. God will spank you. And so if you want to avoid God's discipline, then obey your parents. All right? Number five, obey your parents to avoid parental discipline. To avoid parental discipline. Proverbs 13:24 says to parents, the one who will not use the rod, the spanking, hates his son. But the one who loves him disciplines him diligently. And so, kids, you need to understand that God commands your parents to discipline you and even to spank you when you need it. And so if you are acting up, being rebellious and disobedient, and your parents don't spank you, the Bible says, well, they're not really loving you. And they're disobeying God. If your parents really love you, really want what's best for you, they will discipline you, and they will do so diligently. I remember when I was in the fifth grade, my parents caught me smoking cigarettes. Anybody here in fifth grade? Going to fifth grade? Coming out of fifth grade? L? Well, when I was about your age, it was Christmas time. Mom and Dad, they caught me smoking. And my dad took me for a little drive. It's not the kind of drive you want to go on. But fortunately, this time he didn't spank me. He often spanked me with his leather belt. But this time he said, listen, I'm not going to spank you this time, but if I ever catch you smoking again, you're going to get a big spanking. And by God's grace, that was enough to scare smoking out of me. I decided I'm never smoking again because I don't want to deal with him. And so, if you want to avoid your parents' discipline, then obey them. Number six, obey your parents to be a good witness. We've got nine of these, so we're almost done. Obey your parents to be a good witness for Christ. Matthew 5:16, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. So God has called you, kids, to be his witness, to witness to others about Jesus, to share Christ with others. But when other people, when other kids who aren't Christians, when they look at you and they see that you're not being obedient to your parents, that you dishonor them in the way that you talk to them and the way that you talk about them and that you're disobedient and rebellious, they're not going to see that your Christianity is making a difference in your life. And they're not going to see, well, that's something I want. I'm interested in your faith because really it's made you a different, a better person. No, they're going to be turned off of Christ. So if you want to attract other kids to Jesus, you need to be obedient to your parents. They will notice and they'll be attracted to that, even though it'll be different, not what they're used to, but they'll be attracted to it. Number 7, obey your parents to learn submission. To learn submission. To submit is to follow the authority of another person. We talked about this the past couple of weeks as we talked about marriage and how marriage is a submission competition. Well, all through life, you're going to have to submit to some authority. If you're a wife, become a wife, you're going to have to submit to your husband. All Christians have to submit to the government. We all have to submit to God. You'll have to submit to your boss at work. We have to obey the laws and pay taxes. And there will always be some authority figure or authority figures that you have to submit to. And if you fail to do that, if you struggle with submission, you're going to have lots of problems in life. Where do you learn the skill of submission? Where do you learn to be a submissive person? Well, you're supposed to learn that at home when you're a kid from your parents by submitting to your parents. Listen, if you're always butting heads with your parents and you're struggling to submit to them and you just refuse to submit to them, you're going to struggle with authority the rest of your life. And it's not going to be a fun life. It's going to hurt you the rest of your life. So learn to submit to your parents. Learn to submit to your parents, and you'll be able to get along with authorities the rest of your life. John MacArthur said, when God first introduced his written law in the form of the Ten Commandments, the first law relating to human relationships was honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. And this is the law Paul reiterates in the text. It's the only commandment of the ten that relates to the family, because that one principle alone, honor your father and mother, when obeyed, is enough to secure the right relationship behind all right human relationships in society. A person who grows up with a sense of respect for and obedience to his parents will have the foundation for respecting the authority of other leaders and the rights of other people in general. You want to be a good citizen? You want to have a good life? You want to get along with authorities? Then learn to obey your parents. Number 8, obey your parents to show love to your parents. Obey your parents because it's the loving thing to do to your parents. You know, it's absolutely cruel to your parents. It's heartbreaking whenever you are disobedient to them, when you give them a hard time, when you buck their authority. It says in Proverbs 10:1, Solomon's Proverbs, a wise son brings joy to his father, but a foolish son, heartache to his mother. It breaks your mom's heart when you're disobedient. Proverbs 17:21. A man fathers a fool to his own sorrow. The father of a fool has no joy. It crushes your father whenever you're disobedient. Proverbs 17:25. A foolish son is grief to his father and bitterness to the one who bore him. Proverbs 19:13. A foolish son is his father's ruin. Proverbs 23:24. The father of a righteous son will rejoice greatly, and one who fathers a wise son will delight in him. So if you love your parents, you want to please your parents, you want to make your parents happy, then be obedient. Whenever you're disobedient and dishonoring, and you live a foolish life, and you rebel against God, it just breaks your parents' hearts. And then one more, obey your parents to be like Christ. To be like Christ. Even Jesus, who created your parents, Jesus created his own parents. You ever thought about that? Even Jesus, whenever he came to earth as a baby and he grew up as a young child and a young man, The Bible says Jesus, God Almighty, he submitted to his parents. He obeyed his parents. It says in Luke 2, 51 through 52, then he went down with them. Jesus went down with Mary and Joseph and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. His mother kept all these things in her heart, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and with people. Well, that's what happens to you when you make a decision, I'm going to be obedient to my parents to please the Lord. You will grow and increase in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and with people. Let me close with some good news for you, kids. You don't have to obey your parents forever. When you become an adult, you move out of the house, well, then you can become a parent and you can, you know, wrestle with your kids to obey you. But as long as you're under your parents' roof, you have to obey them. And if you think about it, from the time that you're born until you turn 18, you only have 268 months with your parents. From the time that you're born until you're 18, you only have 268 months. So you only have to be obedient to your parents and follow their rules 268 months. That's not very long when you think about it like that. Parents, think about how much time you have with your kids. You only have 268 months with them before they grow up and they're under their own authority. J.C. Ryle said, what young men will be in all probability depends on what they are now. And they seem to forget this. Youth is the seed time of full age, the molding season in the little space of human life, the turning point in the history of a man's mind. By the shoot, we judge of the tree. By the blossoms, we judge of the fruit. By the spring, we judge of the harvest. By the morning, we judge of the day. And by the character of the young man, we may generally judge what he will be when he grows up. In other words, the character that you have as a young person will very likely follow you the rest of your life. The character that you develop and that you're forming right now, the kind of person you're deciding to be, Christian, not a Christian, obedient to your parents or rebellious against your parents, the kind of person that you're deciding to be right now is going to determine your future. It's going to probably follow you the rest of your life. And so make a decision now while you're young to do the right thing. I'm going to obey my parents. I'm going to submit to them to please the Lord. And that'll be a blessing to you and to your parents for the rest of your life.